You're listening to Khan Podcasts.
We're speaking with Dr. Eva Fogelman, ahead of the Leo Beck Institute's event, Echoes of Children's Survival, opening the Kestenberg Archive online. Tell us, first of all, a bit to frame it. What is the Kestenberg Archive?
Sure. The late Dr. Judith Kestenberg, who was a psychoanalyst, and her husband, Milton Kestenberg, who was an attorney who did a lot of reparation work with Holocaust survivors, started interviewing Holocaust child survivors. And today there are 1,500 interviews that are part of the Kestenberg Holocaust Child Survivor Archive that was digitized at Hebrew University in their oral history department, thanks to Dr. Sharon Kandiger. And it is a very, very unique archive, particularly because the project got started in 1981. At that time, there was one history professor, Dr. Yaffa Eliach, who did very brief interviews with child survivors. Before that, you know, the general consensus was children did not remember, they don't have a sequential narrative to share, and therefore they were not interviewed like the older survivors. Also, we have to remember that child survivors did not get reparations from Germany, because the Germans, once they interviewed a child survivor and they said, well, you know, when were you in the Warsaw Ghetto? And the child obviously couldn't remember or know any dates. They said, well, if you don't remember, therefore you weren't affected by the Holocaust. What is very unique about the Kestenberg Holocaust Child Survivor Archive is that these interviews were done early on, as I said, beginning in 1981. So for many of these interviews, this is the first time that the child survivors spoke about their experiences during the Holocaust. And so once you tell a story over and over, now people are being interviewed over and over again, the story takes on its own life. And here, it was all very fresh. The other thing that's very unique about the archive is that the interviewers were all mental health professionals, and therefore they were able to also help the child survivor understand their feelings, their experiences. They help them integrate their past, the Holocaust, and their future, so that they can have an integrated kind of self after, so that the interview also had a, it's not therapy, of course, but it had a therapeutic effect. What's also very unique about the archive is that most of the interviews are with Jewish Holocaust child survivors, but we also have interviews with Germans who were children during the Holocaust, and also with Poles who were also children during the Holocaust, and what effect and impact that had on them. The other thing that's unique about the archive is, of course, those children who were, you know, pre-verbal children obviously did not have their own narrative, because whatever it is they learned from, you know, from their parents or other caretakers who shared with them the story of what might have happened to them. But Dr. Judith Kestenberg developed a kinesthetic method, which is she got the children to imagine and to feel non-verbally and physically what it must have been like for them. And this was also a technique that was very helpful, in that some of the children obviously had no connection to what they actually had experienced. And obviously, the interviewers had to be knowledgeable about the history, because the children remember in images. They don't remember like a narrative story, a sequential narrative. And so when you have an interviewer that knows the history, they could help the Holocaust child survivor tell their story in a more sequential order, piecing together their images of what happened and how they progressed from from place to place.
These interviews took place in, as you mentioned, starting from the early 1980s. So how old were they when they took part in this project?
So I would say at that time they were probably in their 50s. I figured they were like in their 50s. And most of the people are in their 80s and 90s today. So what I should say is that our definition of a Holocaust survivor, a child survivor, is anyone who was 13 or under at the start of persecution in their country. So that, for example, if we take Germany, January 30th, 1933, when Hitler became chancellor and all the laws against the Jews and losing their, you know, their jobs and some being incarcerated, even believe it or not, as early as March of 1933. And if we talk about Austria, for example, we talk about when the Anschluss happened, which was March of 1938. If we talk about Poland, we're talking about September 1, 1939. So that, you know, so that, of course, the ages varied amongst this group depending on how many years of persecution they had.
They came from a range of countries and experiences. So was that must have been reflected as well in what they related, if there were hidden children.
Yeah,
or
absolutely. There are, we have children who were, believe it or not, who survived Auschwitz, who survived Bergen-Belsen. We have children who were hidden in monasteries and convents, who were hidden with Christian families. We have children who had false identification papers and ran from, you know, one place to another. We had people, obviously, who fled the Asiatic part of Russia with their families. We have people who managed to escape after the Anschluss with the Kinder transport and were in England and obviously from Germany, and there were a few from Czechoslovakia and Poland.
How was contact made with them initially?
Well, everything was sort of like a snowball kind of method. We heard about a child survivor and we asked if they want to be interviewed, and then we had a gathering of Holocaust survivors. That was the second American gathering of Holocaust survivors in Philadelphia in 1984. And we had a table and we asked people to sign up if they were child survivors. And then we had a meeting for them. And then the Kestenbergs and myself had meetings for Holocaust child survivors once a month. And then one person after another, you know, brought individuals to the group, and they would talk about their experiences, and then they would be asked if they want to be interviewed. Some were very hesitant. Some it took them many years before they were ready to give an interview. So as a result of the interviews and our meeting once a month, we then helped organize lots of other groups in other locales. The late Dr. Kestenberg was a member of the International Psychoanalytic Association, and so she met some psychoanalysts who were also child survivors themselves, and she got them to interview, you know, in Hungary and in France, and in lots of other, in Australia. And then today we have an organization that meets on a yearly basis in both in the United States and abroad. And this is the World Federation of Holocaust Child Survivors and Their Descendants, which all stemmed from these interviews. So we also then had some people who felt that the child survivors were only seen as those who were incarcerated in a ghetto or in a concentration camp. And those who were hidden felt that they somehow didn't belong. People said, oh, you're not a survivor. You weren't in a ghetto or in a concentration camp. And so thanks to Miriam Abramowitz, who had done a film as if it was yesterday, she met a lot of This was about the children who were hidden in Belgium. And she met lots of hidden children and wanted to, so she approached the Kestenbergs and myself to have a conference for hidden children. And we had a conference that 1,600 hidden children, but then others came as well, so that the hidden children, for the first time, also were able to develop an identity as hidden Holocaust child survivors, rather than feeling like, you know, because they weren't in a camp or a ghetto, therefore they can't, you know, they can't consider themselves Holocaust survivors.
How did you yourself become involved in this, and what was has that experience been like for you?
Sure. I first started in 1976, myself and Bella Savarin, who lives in Israel now and is involved with the Counseling Center for Women. We started groups for the second generation of Holocaust survivors. And then occasionally people approached us and said, you know, I don't know if I belong. You know, I went through the war as a very small child, but my parents survived. And so I don't know if I belong. So I said, sure, come to the group. And so that's when I began to have a consciousness about those who were children during the Holocaust. And I also did a group at Hebrew University as well in 1978. And at that time in Israel, they thought that I was bringing an American phenomenon to Israel, that Israeli second generation were not affected. But a lot of that has since changed. And what happened is that, so my work as second generation became, you know, well known as a result of an article that Helen Epstein wrote in the Sunday New York Times magazine. And then after Judith Kestenberg started interviewing child survivors, I had invited her to a conference. I organized a conference for the second generation in 1979 in New York, and Judith Kestenberg had also done a lot of work with the second generation of Holocaust survivors through the American Psychoanalytic Association, which is where I met her at annual meetings. And then she approached me to come and work with her on interviewing child survivors. And in terms of how it affected me, well, I feel very gratified that I have been able to give a voice to those people who were voiceless. And, you know, at times it's, you know, obviously very difficult work, and because of, you know, what they experienced, you know, you have some child survivors who did not even know their name. They didn't know their parents. They didn't know when they were born, had no, you know, no identity, had to create an identity. Some child survivors were still living with the tremendous fears or coping in the way that they had coped during the Holocaust. So there've been, you know, emotionally difficult moments in interviewing these individuals, and also my work as a therapist in working with Holocaust survivors, adults and children.
Well, certainly it's very important work, and especially now with it's going online, it will continue to be testimony.
Absolutely. And what was quite incredible is that the social work school at Hebrew University is now using materials of how other children survived such massive trauma and what helped them cope. And the social work school at Hebrew University prepared the children who were hostages when they came back. And they learned from how the children cope before in preparation for bringing them out. So I think the archive and scholar, you know, this is the archive has, since it's been at Hebrew University for a couple of years, has been used by quite a few scholars. We have books that have come out. that have been edited by myself and Dahlia Offer and Sharon Kanziger. And we hope that this archive will be used to learn from how children coped with such severe trauma for our current situation.